I want to share with you this morning something that it's about healing, but it's really, it's not just about healing. It's about the way God works. You know, anybody here want to receive something for God? You have a need that you need from God right now. Hallelujah. Well, you know, there are over 30 different truths that we could go over that tell you that it's God's will for you to be healed. Or, you know, if you don't need healing right now, you may someday, so just, you know, put it in the library up here, and you can pull it out later. But even if it's not healing, just transfer the name prosperity into that, or transfer the name family well-being into this, and it's the same process. Okay, God doesn't have one process for you getting healed, and then He has this other technique if you want to be prosperous and be financially secure. He doesn't have this other one if you want to have a nice family life. He's not like that. Everything. Nice and simple. God is a simple God. He's not making things hard. What we try to do is we try and take what God says and make it harder than it is. But if you'll just take His word at face value instead of trying to read all this other stuff into it, it's easy. Hallelujah. God is an easy God. Praise God. So now, we're just going to go over one of the reasons how we can know it's God's will for you to be healed today. And the first reason is that God's word is medicine. Anybody here ever had to take medicine before? Anybody? You know, usually some medicines that we take, they don't do anything to heal you. Like, let's say you have a terrible headache, you take some Tylenol. Is the Tylenol healing you? No, it's just masking the pain, right? And that's a good thing. Pain maskers are good if you're in pain. But, you know, some medicines, you can take them and they will actually do something. They will actually heal your body, right? Well, God's word is like that. God's word is medicine. Now, do you just take, when you needed to take that medicine, did you just take one dose and that was it? One dose and woo, all of a sudden you're better. Yeah, you can go out and run a 10-mile marathon because you took one dosage of medicine. Anybody here? No, medicine doesn't work like that, does it? You think back when your kids were little, and let's say they'd get an ear infection or something, and so you took them to the pediatrician, and they would give them amoxicillin, that pink, yucky stuff that they hate to take. Okay, so they would take that, and how long would you have to take that for? 7 to 10 days, something like that. 7 days, 10 days, but they had to take it 3 times a day for 10 days, right? And you couldn't stop in the middle because what might happen? Yeah, they could come back worse, right? Because now your system has all the infections, all the antibodies are eaten up, I guess. So anyways, no, so when your kids took that medicine, they had to take it for 7 to 10 days, 3 times a day, right? Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. That medicine didn't work like that. It was a process. You had to take it over and over and over again. And you were careful not to let them skip one, weren't you? Yeah. Because you knew it was something important. Well, the Word of God is like that too. The Word of God is a process. And you don't just take God's medicine one time and say, okay, I'm done. Zap me now, God. Well, He doesn't work like that. Okay? God's word is a process. You have to take it over and over and over. All right, so now we can be sure that it's God's will for us to be healed today because God's word is medicine. Now, if you take His word long enough, it will heal you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He sent His word and healed you. He says He healed you. He didn't say He's going to heal you next week. He didn't say, well, maybe He's going to heal you next year if you're good. No, He says He sent His word and He healed you. That means He already did it. He healed you already. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 23 we're going to look at. It says, my son, attend to my words. That means pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Listen to them. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For why? Verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. In the Amplified, it says, my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. It means do them, listen and do them. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those that find them. But you have to find them before they're life to you. His words are here. They're here for you. He doesn't have any secrets here. They're here for you, but you have to find them just the same. For they're life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. So he said, above all that you guard. Do you have anything that you guard? Do you have anything you guard at home? Anything you guard in the parking lot outside? Don't you guard your car? Didn't you lock it this morning? Yeah, we guard our car. We locked our house. How many of you locked your house before you left? Yeah, we guard our house. We guard our car. We guard our things, don't we? But he said, above all that you guard, guard your heart, because out of your heart flow the springs of life. Hallelujah. So God's word is medicine. Now, he gives us some simple directions here for taking the medicine. Okay? Direction number one, attend to the word. Attend to the word. Pay attention. Okay? Let's say we looked at the prescription, a bottle here that said God's medicine. And on your prescription label, there are instructions, right, for taking the medicine. Take three times a day. Take one caplet three times per day with a meal. Don't drink milk with it. It says something like that on your prescription, right? If you've ever seen a prescription, maybe it wasn't yours, but you saw one. Hallelujah. So these are the instructions on our prescription, okay? Number one is attend to the word. Number two, don't let it depart. Number three, keep it in the midst of your heart. Okay? So now that's the thing about God's healing, is it starts on the inside and it works its way out to the outside. So God's healing is spiritual first, and then you see it in the physical. Okay? So his word is a process. God's word is medicine. And if you begin to take your medicine, then you're going to begin to what? To recover, right? Okay, so now there are some things that you have to do, though. You have to, first of all, you have to take your medicine, right? Which is the word of God. You have to do some things. You have to resist the devil. When the devil comes to you and says, it hurts. Well, you know, resist him. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I have a little example of that. What day was that? I guess it was last Saturday. Greg woke up, and I don't know what the guy did, but he showed me his elbow. His elbow was screaming at him. He showed me his elbow, and it looked like a mountain. It was sticking out. I mean, just like that. It was swollen like a mountain, a big old V here on his elbow. He's like, what did I do? He didn't have any idea. He thought maybe he said it felt like it was broken. And so it's sitting here. We're talking about resisting the devil, right? Now, we're about to go on vacation on Monday. And, you know, vacation is a very important thing. And I'm not having us give up our vacation because of your elbow. So anyways, it was hurting him real bad every time somebody would touch him. Ah! You know, and so anyways, we just reminded each other that, number one, you have to resist the devil. And so how do you do that? Well, the first thing you do is when it feels like, I'm going to scream, you say no. You talk to that thing and you say no in Jesus' name. You don't have authority here. You have no permission to be in my body. You know, if you are born again, you are the temple of God. God lives inside of you. And so you don't have to let things bother you like that. So that's what he started to do. Instead of we didn't pray. Well, I mean, yeah, I laid hands on him because he asked me to. But we didn't really pray, oh, God, please heal Greg's elbow. Please, please, in Jesus' name, please. You don't have to beg God. No, he already gave you authority over your own body. So all we did was say no. In Jesus' name, no. We'll not have that. And so he did that all day long, and it still hurt real bad, but every time, no, in the name of Jesus. Well, Sunday came around, and he didn't say anything to me, and he was wearing a long-sleeve shirt all day, so you know, nobody here noticed his elbow was looking like that. And we got home, and I asked him, well, how's your elbow? And he says, no, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Well, you know, by Monday morning, the swelling was completely gone. Completely gone, no pain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, it looked like a big old infection. Who knows what even happened, but it was very, very swollen and ugly. But anyways, within 2 days, completely gone. Why? Because if you will resist the devil, he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Resist him. You can resist him. You know, so many times we let things bother us that we don't have to. I mean, just simple little things like a cold. Let's say the cold symptoms start coming up. You start feeling tickly in your throat. You know, you don't have to say, oh, no, I'm getting a cold, which is what most of us do. Uh-oh, I'm getting a cold. No, don't do that. No, instead say, no, I'll not have it in Jesus' name. No. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't let things come on you. He has no right to do that to you unless you give him permission. So you don't have to, when the thing starts, you don't have to go and immediately, you can. You can go to God and you can pray. But you know, you don't have to because he already gave us authority. You can just speak to that thing that's bothering you or your circumstances, the part that you have authority over, whatever area it is. You can speak to that thing and you can say, no, I'll not have it in Jesus' name. You can do that about a job. They're starting to pass out pink slips. No, I'll not get one in Jesus' name. No, that doesn't come near me. You stop it at the door. You don't let it in. Number one, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We're talking about God's word is medicine. But number one, you have some things to do. And number one, you need to resist the devil. Don't let him do things to you. You resist him, first of all. Now, the second thing you need to do is that you have to do is you have to study the word because the word of God is his medicine. It's his medicine for your finances. It's his medicine for your body. It's his medicine for your family. It's his medicine for whatever area you need. God's word is medicine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we already said that healing starts first on the inside. It's spiritual first, and then it works its way out until it's into the physical, right? So then the condition of your spirit is going to affect your flesh. Okay, if you have a weak spirit, because you haven't been doing any exercise spiritually, you haven't been doing those push-ups, and so you're weak spiritually, let's say. You haven't been putting the word of God into you, and you're weak. Well, that's going to affect your flesh. It's going to be harder for you to resist when you're weak. So it's important that you have a strong spirit. And we're going to talk about how to get a strong spirit this morning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Hallelujah. God's word is medicine. It's a process. It'll work just like that amoxicillin works every time to drive out that infection in your baby. God's word will work every time. Every time. Hallelujah. If you'll take it properly, it will work. God's word works. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble." So if you have a strong spirit, it will sustain you in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So we don't want to have a weak and broken spirit. We want to have a strong spirit, don't we? You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, yeah, I have a strong spirit, but if I have a strong spirit, then I won't have to use it because nothing bad's going to happen to me. That's a bunch of baloney. The Bible says that we all suffer trials, that all of us go through trials, but in them all, we are victorious. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to go through the same trials that everyone else goes through. Everybody goes through trials. But you can come out victorious. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, you can come out victorious. But everybody faces trials. It's just how you go through it. If you have a strong spirit, it's going to be easier for you to get through it. You can still get through it if you have a weak spirit, but it's going to be harder and it's going to take you a little bit longer, but you can still do it. But you want to start off with a strong spirit. So let's today, strong spirit, okay? A strong spirit. Now, this is talking about your human spirit. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? The Bible says that you are a spirit. You are a spirit. You live inside of this body. Hallelujah, right? But you are a spirit. You are a spirit. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and he's living in you, but that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about your spirit. Your spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he's always strong. You don't have to worry about him. We have to worry about us, okay? We need a strong spirit. The reason you need a strong spirit is once you've prayed and you said, okay, hallelujah, I prayed, I believe I'm healed. From this moment on, you can't convince me that I'm not healed. Well, you know, in a couple minutes when that pain starts shooting through you, what are you going to do? If you have a strong spirit, remember it says it's a strong spirit sustains you through bodily pain and trouble. The stronger your spirit is, the pain isn't going to stop in 2 minutes just because you prayed right now and you believe you have it. You know, that circumstance is not going to stop in 2 minutes because you prayed just now. You're still going to have to walk through it. You're going to have to walk through the pain. You're going to have to walk through the trouble. You're going to have to walk through whatever that fire that's in front of you. And it's not from God. It's from the devil, okay? It's not from God, but you're still going to have to walk through it. And if you have a strong spirit, you can get through it a lot easier. Hallelujah. So a strong spirit will enable, it'll help you to reach out and receive and then hold fast and not let go until you actually get the thing in hand. Now, how do you build a strong spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says in verse 6, 4, 6, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Hallelujah. And now in this case, he's talking about the difference between godliness and what our society calls godliness, if you want to call it that, which is, you know, a nice body, being strong and physically fit and all that. That's in our society, that's kind of, it's not really called godliness, but that's what people like. You know, that's just look on television, you know. But that's what we think is important. But God says, yeah, that stuff's good, but godliness is even better, okay? So God is comparing here a strong body to a strong spirit, right? Do you see how he's doing that? Now, how do you get a, so let's talk about that. Now, here he's comparing, let's just look here for a second. He says, for bodily exercise, in verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, he's not saying don't exercise there. He's saying, yeah, it's profitable, but just a little bit. But godliness is profitable to all things. So here he's comparing spiritual exercise to physical exercise, okay? And we're comparing here physical food to spiritual food. You know, physical things are just a picture of spiritual things. Okay? God was first a spirit, then he created the physical things, but he's a spirit first. You are a spirit first. Remember, you are a spirit and you live inside of a body. Hallelujah. So we can look at how physical things work. How do we get a strong body? And we can see how God, we can use that to look at how we're supposed to have a strong spirit, because it's the same process. Okay? It's the same, it's a picture. How you get strong physically is a picture of how to get strong spiritually, okay? So if you want your spirit built up, the first thing you need to do is you need to feed it on the Word of God, and then you need to exercise it. Now, isn't that how we get a strong body? We have to feed it, we have to feed our body, and then we have to exercise it. We can't just feed it, because then we'll get fat, and we can't just exercise it, because then we'll get all anorexic. We have to do both. We have to feed our body, and we have to exercise it, and it's the same thing with the Word of God. You need to feed your spirit with the Word of God, and then you need to exercise it also. So how do we do that? How do we take care of our spirit or our heart? Number one, you need to feed your spirit properly. Okay, you can't just give it junk food. We have to actually feed our spirit with good food. And right here, this is good food, okay? This is good food. The next thing we need to do is we need to exercise our spirits regularly. So we feed our spirit good food, and we exercise our spirit regularly. If you exercise, how many of you actually exercise? Occasionally you exercise. Raise your hand. Oh, come on, guys. I should see everybody raising their hand. You're supposed to exercise. Yeah, yeah. You know what? Exercise sometimes is disgusting, isn't it? I went through years thinking, oh, exercise. Greg used to tell me, you know, Becky, if you want to lose weight, you have to exercise. And I would just say, oh, pooey, I do not need to exercise. I can just starve myself and I'll lose weight. I don't have to exercise. But you know what? The older I get, I realize, you know, he actually knows some things. He's right. You do have to exercise too, because otherwise you may be skinny, but you'll be a fat skinny. You know what I mean? So no, you have to do both. You have to eat and you have to exercise. Now, you can't just eat anything you feel like and be in good shape, right? Right. You know, man, I wish we could just eat milkshakes every day and just not get fat. Wouldn't that be great? But it doesn't work like that. We have to eat good food if we want to be in good shape. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. We need to eat good food. Hallelujah. We're talking about how to get a strong spirit right now. And one of the things we need to do is we need to eat good food, all right? Now, how do we eat spiritually? How do we do that? Well, first, by hearing and receiving the God's word into our spirits. We have to do two things to eat it. We have to hear it, and then we have to receive it, You can't just hear it and let it go in one ear and out the other and think that you ate anything. No, you didn't. All you did was you heard something and it went off, okay? No, you eat spiritual food with your ears. You eat it with your ears. You're eating spiritual food right now. And then you chew it with your mind. As you think about what you're hearing, you're chewing. You chew it with your mind. Now, if you swallow it, then it gets into your heart. You can still chew it and say, oh, that tastes yucky, and spit it out, right? And then that doesn't, let's say you're eating a steak, and you put it in your mouth, and you chew it, and then you spit it out. Ugh, ugh, I don't want that. Well, did that steak do your body any good?
No.
Not really. You know, you got a couple little pieces of juice in there, but that was about it. You didn't get any real food into you. So you have to hear it, chew it with your mind, swallow it. If you swallow it, then it gets into your heart, and it'll help to build a strong spirit. Yeah, let's look at Job chapter 23. Job 23. You know, Job was a faith man. People like to make fun of Mr. Job, but he was a faith man. Hallelujah. Everybody taught, his wife went to him and said, just curse your God. Look what he's done to you. Look at this. You lost everything. Just curse him. And what did he say? He said, absolutely not. I'm not going to curse my God. He was a faith man. And in the midst of all the trials and the fire and his children died and his things burned down and he lost everything. He was a wealthy man. He lost everything. But in the midst of that, he said, no, I'm not going to give up because God is God. And he was a faith man. Hallelujah. He had a strong spirit. Now, he said some strange-sounding things in here that maybe you don't want to go with, but he was a strong man, a faith man. Hallelujah. And in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, here's what he says here. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Remember, I just told you all those terrible things have just happened to him. And in the midst of all that, well, let me see here. Wait a second. Anyway, so everybody's telling him, just quit, give up. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Yeah. Hallelujah. He has esteemed, he's considered the words of God's mouth more important than his food, than his bodily food. Hallelujah. God's word is more. And you know what? Do you remember what happened to Job at the end? At the end, he had more children. Which, you know, that's still kind of sad. He lost his other ones. But anyways, he had more children. He had much more than he had. He got back. He was a much wealthier man after this terrible thing had happened to him than before. But why? Because he esteemed God's word more than he did his own bodily food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now let's talk about some things that we need to eat. So we said that we eat God's word by hearing it with our ears, chewing it with our mind, and then swallowing it. If we swallow it, it gets into our heart. Now, what are we supposed to be chewing, hearing and chewing and swallowing? Just any old thing that says God's name? No. Hallelujah. Well, one of the things that you can eat is sermons at church. This is food right now. We're having a snack, but that's what it is. This is a snack. This isn't as good as just reading your Bible by itself, okay? We're having a good snack right now, but you need to go home and do some work with it, okay? So sermons are food. Reading books, good books, they're food. Books now, not books, the latest Tom Clancy novel, of course, but a good book on healing or on prosperity, you know, a good book, those are good. That's food, okay? Sermons, books, listening to tapes or CDs, those are all good. Those are good sources of food, but those are kind of like taking vitamins. You know, vitamins are a good thing, right? Yeah. How many of you take vitamins? Raise your hand. Okay, vitamins are important. You need to take vitamins, but are vitamins as important as food?
No.
No, they're good and you need vitamins, but they're a supplement. That's right, they're not food. The food that you're going to get the most out of is by opening up this Bible and reading what God said specifically to you. Okay, this Bible is God's word speaking to you. You need to read the Bible itself. The rest of the things are good and it's important and you should come to church and hear sermons. And you should read books and you should listen to CDs and tapes because they're going to help you to grow even more. But, you know, those are kind of like taking steroids. Good steroids is coming to church and hearing the Word of God, okay? They'll help you to grow really strong. But you have to be eating and doing some other things first, right? Otherwise, steroids aren't going to help you. So the other ways are kind of like supplements, but reading your Bible for yourself, that is great. That is food. This is God's food. So as you read the scriptures, you know, find scriptures that talk about healing. There are lots of them in here. I have, where is it written? This is a new Bible I just got last year, and I haven't finished marking it yet. But anyways, right here. I have listed here probably about 50 healing scriptures. This is not all the healing scriptures in the Bible. This is just a bunch of them. And, you know, if you're in need of healing, if you'll start reading those scriptures, and, you know, here's what you do to eat, remember. You read it. Read it out loud to yourself. Put your name in it. Make it like God's saying it to you. Think about it with your mind. You chew it with your mind. And then you swallow it. Hallelujah. And it'll get into your heart and it'll heal you. Remember, God's word is medicine and it's a process. You have to keep taking the medicine to see the results. Keep taking the medicine. Don't quit after 2 days. Don't quit after 3 days. Keep taking it until the actual manifestation, the healing, the finances, whatever it is, come. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Now, we said that in order to grow, just like in order for us to grow physically, we need to eat and we need to exercise. You can't leave off exercise. I wish we could, but we can't. Now, us people who are older than 25, that's all we are, just 25, right? We all know that you can't not exercise. You can't just eat less. You have to exercise too. Hallelujah. So let's talk about go over some examples of exercise in our spirit. Because we want a strong spirit. So that, remember, he said a strong spirit will sustain you through bodily pain and trouble. So we want to be sustained through trouble while we're believing God until the manifestation comes, right? Hallelujah. Well, one thing that you can do is confess the word of God. Confession is just something that you say with your mouth. Okay, you know, I had this thing for, I'm just going to give the fast version, something bit me right here, and next thing you know, it itched, so I scratched it, next thing you know, it grew into a circle, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger until the next thing you know, this circle, looked like a great big scar, like I'd had surgery and the doctor had cut my neck open, and people would even stop me at the grocery store, the tellers, and say, oh, did you have surgery? That's how bad it looked. But this big old thing, it started out as a bug bite. It ended up being all the way here into my head, all the way around, a big, huge loop. And it was growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And this whole time, I was believing I was healed. I thought I was. I thought, oh, I believe I'm healed. Thank you, Father. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. And I would go over the scriptures and say, thank you, Father, that I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. But anyways, confession. And I'll go back to that story in a minute because I'm not there yet. But confession, if we'll say something with our mouth, thank you, Father, that I'm healed. What I started to say was after a bunch of stuff, and I'll tell you more about that later if I have time, but I found a scripture in chapter 30. And in Jeremiah 30:17, it looked really ugly. It looked really nasty. Greg's parents can tell you how bad it looked. It says here, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Well, when I found that scripture, I said, whoa, that's for me, because I look nasty right now, and I don't want that. And, you know, I needed health to be restored to me. Okay, so I started confessing that scripture. I'd say it over and over. I thank you, Father, that you restore my health and you heal me of my wounds. Take the word of God and make it personal. That's how you confess it. This is exercising your spirit. Remember, we said you have to exercise and you have to eat. Well, this is kind of combining it, isn't it? It's eating and exercising at the same time. So I'd say, oh, I thank you, Father, that my health is restored, that you're restoring my health is restored. And I am healed of my wounds in Jesus' name. So I was confessing the word of God. Now, another way that you can exercise your spirit is by speaking in other tongues. Now, Jesus said to wait here in Jerusalem. He told his disciples, until you're filled with the Spirit, okay? Being filled with the Holy Spirit was important to Jesus. And it should be important to us, okay? As a matter of fact, one of the very last things that he said to his disciples in Mark chapter 16... These are the last, in the Gospel of Mark anyways, these are the last words that Jesus said. He said to his disciples, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, though, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs are supposed to, any believers here, these signs are supposed to be following you. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. You can do it. You can do it. Jesus said, in my name, you will cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Okay, so Jesus wants you to speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick, they shall recover. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, that believers shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. So that's important to Jesus. So it should be important to us. So one of the things we can do, exercise in our spirit, confession, saying what the Word of God says about us. Number two, speaking in other tongues. That's very important. You know, I know when we were first filled with the Holy Spirit, we got filled with the Holy Spirit in 1983, the first Sunday of January, 1983. It's real easy to remember that. And we were at Pastor Fred Price's church in Los Angeles, and we decided we wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we were kind of afraid. And we'd ask all of our friends, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? And one friend said, oh yeah, my sister's filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of weird, but you know, we'd ask him, you know, all these questions. And finally, we got up our nerve and we said, okay, we're going to go to church. We weren't even married yet. I was still in college. Greg had just graduated from law school. He was studying for the bar exam. And so we said, okay, this Sunday, we're going to go to church and we're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we were so excited, but we're nervous about it too. And so we went to church that Sunday, and Pastor Price had several different invitations. One, to be born again. Number two, assurance of salvation, if you're not sure you're born again. Number three is if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And number four is if you want to become a member of the church. Well, he came around to, who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Did we raise our hands? No. We didn't raise our hands because we were chickening out. But when he came to the, who wants to become a member, we said, okay, we can do that one. So we raised our hands to become members. Now, that way, Greg tells the story, it was so that we could go back and we could spy on the counselors and see what they're actually doing back there, you know. So we went back there, and, you know, you couldn't just become a member. They wanted you to be filled with the Holy Spirit first. And so they put a girl counselor for the girls, boy counselors for the boys. So Greg went with the boys, and I got to go with the girls. And so I didn't know what he was saying. Now, I've always been a little bit on the chicken side. So when it came time, the lady's asking me, okay, so do you want to be filled with the Spirit? And I said, oh, yes, but not today. I want to wait till he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And Greg's over there, and she says, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And, you know, he didn't say, yes, I want to wait for her. And he didn't say that. He said, yes, but not today. I just want to wait a little while. And so the guy finally talked Greg into it. And so he prayed like it's a big deal. It's really not. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, so Greg got filled with the Holy Spirit, and separately, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was so exciting. And after we were filled with the Holy Spirit, they said to you, now you need, it's very important that you pray every day in tongues. And so we said, okay. And we heard other people say that they prayed every day for 1 hour. And so we went there, and, you know, I mean, we didn't really have a life then. We're just in college, and we weren't married. We didn't have any kids. So we'd go, and we'd set our clocks, and we'd walk around Westwood, and we'd pray in tongues for 1 hour. And that seemed like forever, you know. And you know, you don't have to pray in tongues 1 hour every day. You know, just pray. It's like as simple as when you get up in the morning and you get into the shower, pray in tongues while you're in the shower. Start out that way. Pray in tongues while you're driving to work. You know, you're exercising your spirit. You're not being weird, okay? You can even pray in tongues in front of other people under your breath. No one will know. No one has to think you're crazy. You don't have to do silly things, guys. Right? Come on. God does not want you to look like an idiot. God wants you to meet to help other people, and you can't help anyone if you look like an idiot. Okay? So don't do that. But anyways, that is another way to exercise your spirit, is by speaking in other tongues. Jesus said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm not just making that up. So confess the Word of God, speak in other tongues. Now the third way that you can be filled, not filled with the Spirit, the third way that you can exercise your spirit is just by praising and thanking God. Oh, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that I'm healed. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Thank you. I worship you. You are so good. You are a good God. You know, just talk about how wonderful He is. And act like you have it now. How would you act if you have it now? Would you say, oh, God, please, oh, I can't stand another day of this. Please, God, oh, please, no. Mm-mm. That's not praising and worshiping Him. Oh, Father, I thank you that I have it. Oh, just imagine, take your mind is a very powerful thing. Take your mind and imagine, what would it be like if I actually had it now? If I actually had it, what would it feel like? What would it look like? Use your imagination. And start praising, oh, thank you, Father, that I have it. You know, there's a story that that Kenneth Hagin told a few years ago. He's dead now, so he told it several years ago, actually, about this little old lady. He'd been praying for people, and And this little lady came up, and she was in a chair. She was in a wheelchair thing that they'd made for her, makeshift wheelchair. This was back in the Depression days, so they didn't have a lot of money. But anyways, so this lady came in, this little old lady came in the wheelchair, and he said, "Do you want to be healed today?" And she says, "Oh," I started with the begging stuff. "Oh, I wish, please, God, heal me, please, please." And he said, "No, don't do that." And he told her, "Just stop right now and start thanking him like you have it now." And she said, "Oh, thank you, Father, that I can get up and make my own breakfast. I don't have to be waited on hand and foot. Oh, I thank you." You know, within a few minutes, the lady got up and was healed, and she couldn't walk before that. She was healed just by praising and thanking God. She started, instead of thinking about, oh, these terrible things going on, she put her eyes on, "Oh, I thank you. What would it look like if I actually have it?" So that's one thing that you can do to exercise your spirit, is thank him like you already have it, like it's here already. Hallelujah. And then the fourth thing that you can do to exercise your spirit is to walk in the spirit. That would be to walk in love when that person cuts you off, instead of saying, "Oh, you jerk." You know, anybody who's driven with me, okay, just, you know, I kind of do that sometimes, but I need to walk in the spirit more in that area. But anyways, sometimes you get in bad habits and you don't even realize it. But anyways, you need to walk in the spirit. The Bible says that the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness. You know, if we would walk in the spirit, that is exercising your spirit, and that's making your spirit stronger. Hallelujah. So we want to have a strong spirit. Now, going back to that story that I told you about the thing on my neck. Here's the thing. If you're scared, if you're worried, if you're depressed about what's going on, if you're upset about it all the time, then you are not walking in faith concerning that situation. You're not believing God. Because if you're believing God, faith relieves you. It's like the thing of what I was just telling you about. Think about what would it be like. You start thinking about how great, "Oh, yeah, I have all the money. Oh, Father, if I had all that money, if I had the money to pay all my bills, oh, what? Just think about what a weight off your shoulders, whatever it is that you're needing from God. Wouldn't it be such a weight off your shoulders if you didn't have that problem anymore?
That's right.
Well, that's what thanking him. If you'll get into that mode, hallelujah. Faith relieves you. It takes the weight off of your shoulders so that you don't have to be bound and burdened and crushed down with that whatever it is. Hallelujah. So just, you know, praise God. If you're scared about it, though, if you're worried about it, if you're concerned about it, if you're depressed about it, you're not in faith. And that's all that means is if you will just acknowledge that. Just like the guy who has a drinking problem. If he will just acknowledge it, he's made a big thing, right?
Yeah.
If you will just acknowledge, okay, I am not believing God, then you can go on and you can get right.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, so I went, this thing happened, it was my first year teaching school back in 1987, I think it was. And maybe it was 86, I don't remember now, 86. So this happened like in September, October. I think it happened in October, the bug bite. By November, it was pretty big. It had grown a lot in 1 month. By May, it was huge. When school was finally out, and this whole time, we would go to Bible study every week. We would go, and we would go to this one particular Bible study, which was Pastor Price's on Tuesday nights, and we would always sit. Pastor Price would sit right here in a chair, and then all the big shots on the board and stuff would sit here, and we like to be in the front, okay, because we want to hear everything. So we would always sit right there. And this one doctor who was on the board would sit right here every week. And every week when we would come in, and this is a big place, thousands of people would come to this Bible study, but we would always be in the second row. So anyways, we'd come, and I knew Dr. Stakely was going to be sitting right there. And so I would always kind of be trying to hide myself because I didn't want him to see me. Now, I didn't realize that I wasn't in faith because I was saying the whole time, "I thank you, Father, that I believe I'm healed, and by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Thank you, Father, that I'm healed by Jesus' stripes." And I was going over the scriptures, but I wasn't believing them. And I didn't realize this until afterwards, but this is a good sign. If you're worried about it, if you're concerned what other people are going to think,
yeah,
you're not in faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, once school was out, I really got into the Bible. I started really going over those scriptures day and night. And at that time, I got a hold of also a book, I'm almost done, okay? A book by Dodie Osteen, and I actually have one in here somewhere. I think we have, If you don't have one of these, you need to get one. I think we might have a few at the house still. But this is a book by Dodie Osteen. She was she's Joel Osteen's mom, if you've ever seen Joel Osteen on TV. But she was, before she was Joel Osteen's mom, she was John Osteen's wife. And he was a real faith man for years and years and years. He died in the past, about 5 years ago, I'd say. But anyway, she came down with cancer, and it was the worst kind of cancer known to man, I guess. It was some sort of terrible cancer. And she had metastatic cancer of the liver, I think it was. But anyways, it was a death sentence. She got this death sentence, and you know, all the big shots prayed for her, and nothing changed. And so she decided, oh, I guess I have to actually get into the Bible and read the scriptures about it. And so I read this book, and it was just an excellent book. But anyway, she has 40 healing scriptures in here. And those are the 40 scriptures I have written inside my Bible, plus I added some to it. But anyways, she said that she wouldn't leave the house in the morning. She would start her day by reading those scriptures and reading them out loud. To me, it works a lot better if you read them out loud. She would read the scriptures out loud, make them personal, put your name into it every morning and every night. She was taking her medicine every morning and every night. And if you go through those scriptures, it takes about 30 minutes to just read them out loud to yourself, out loud to yourself every morning, every night. If you want to receive from God, that's what you need to do. It takes effort and time.
Yeah.
Okay? God isn't just going to throw things down at you. As a matter of fact, you know what? It's not God keeping the problem from you. It's you not receiving it.
Right.
It's us not receiving the answer. Uh-huh. It's not God. God loves you, and he sent his son. He healed you. It says he healed you. Remember we said that at the beginning? He already did it. He's done everything. All we have to do is receive it. We just have to receive. That's all.
Right.
But anyways, so morning and night, hallelujah. Now, once I got out of school, I started going over. I wouldn't read it from here, even though the scripture is the same scriptures, but to me, it's better if you actually read it out of your own Bible. So I would read the scriptures 30 minutes every morning, and then I found out of all, we had a lot of tapes on healing, but I found one tape out of a series of like four or five tapes in it. I found one that really was perfect for my situation. And he talked about this girl, this lady who had this cancerous growth on her face. And this is Kenneth Hagin. She came to be healed in one of his meetings, and he told her, I don't have any anointing left. He was tired. He said, the anointing's gone, lady, but I can go ahead and I'll tell you what, how to be healed. And so she said, okay. He said he felt led to tell her, go home, and as you're mopping the floor, as you're doing the dishes, as you're making the beds, every time you think about it, you say, oh, Jesus, I thank you that I received my healing at 10:41 on Wednesday, September 3rd, whatever the date was, okay? And so that's when he prayed for her. And so she did. She did that for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, she called. It was a long meeting he was holding there. At the end of 10 days, she called him up, and she's screaming. She's screaming, and the pastor on the line, lady, I can't understand you. Slow down, slow down. And so she finally said, I need to talk to Brother Hagin. So he got on the phone. He said, yeah, hello, this is Brother Hagin. And she said, it fell off as I was doing the dishes. It just fell off. I did what you said. She did what he said. And she said, oh, I thank you, Father, that I received my healing back then. She started acting like she had it now instead of, oh, please, God, please heal me, because that doesn't work. You can beg till you're blue in the face. God already, he says to you, I already did. What do you want from me? You know, I have a 3-year-old at home, and sometimes I'll give her something. I'm walking, talking fast so I can finish here. Sometimes, you know, let's say she says, I can't get this off. Here, Mom, can I have a watch? Can I have a watch? And so I say, okay, here's the watch. Don't touch it. She says, Mom, I want the watch. And I said, it's in your lap. Mom, wait! I want the watch! Give me the watch! I want the watch now! Ah! She loves to scream. And so, but Elizabeth, the watch is in your lap. It's right here. She won't even take it. She's trying. She wants it so bad. I'm not making this up. She wants the watch so bad. She can't see. I'm trying to give it to her. It's in her hand. God has already given you healing. He's already given you everything you need, but you're sitting there with our hands closed saying, God, please, please. God has already done it for you. He has it right there. Just open the hand and take it. That's all we have to do is open our hand and take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this lady was healed, by the way. Anyways, she's still alive today. But the thing is, as soon as I started doing that, as soon as I started going over those scriptures day and night, and I found the one tape about the lady with the purplish cancerous growth that fell off of her face, I did that for less than 2 weeks. I just started getting into the Word and into the Word. You know, within 2 weeks, that thing was gone. Gone. Within one, it was noticeably almost gone. Within 1 month, totally no sign of it whatsoever. Okay, you can ask Greg's parents. They're back there. They saw the whole thing. Hallelujah. God is good. He is not. Now, I thought I was believing for 9 months. Nothing. Nothing. If you will get into the Word of God, if you will hear it, chew it, swallow it, and then you'll exercise. Thank you, Father, that I have it now. Please use your imagination and think about what it would look like if you actually had it. What would that look like? Thank you that I have that. That's exercising your spirit. Now, I'm not saying that those 9 months I didn't waste my time, that I wasted my time because I was still at least chewing the word. I was still putting it into me. I just wasn't doing the exercising part. Hallelujah. Anyways, praise the Lord. I wanted to share one more thing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. Hallelujah. God is good, and He's done everything that you need. He's already got it for you. Just reach out and receive it. Hallelujah. In Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Hallelujah. So if the Lord is your light and your salvation, who can you fear? You've got everything you need. He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, it used to be when before I really started intensely getting into the Word about that thing, I'd look in the mirror and the mirror would look back at me and say, "You are so ugly. You are disgusting. You're disgusting. So ugly. Don't even show your face." It was horrible. It was very ugly. After I started getting into the Word and saying, "Oh, my hands are open. I receive it now." Before, instead of in my, I wasn't saying I knew enough from the church I was going to. I knew enough not to go begging to God. Man, Pastor Price would have slapped you on the face if he heard you're begging God. But you know what? I knew not to do that. But still, in my heart, I wasn't receiving because I was afraid. I was worried. I didn't want anybody to see me, right? I didn't, please, nobody ask me. You know, I could say, "Oh, don't worry, I believe I'm healed," but I wasn't really believing it. Okay? But you know what? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The mirror. So before I started that, the mirror would talk to me and tell me, "You're so disgusting and ugly. Look at that horrible situation staring at you in the face all the time." But after I changed, God didn't change. I changed. After I changed, I could look in the mirror and I could tell it, "Shut up. In the name of Jesus, skin, you are clear and clean and new and beautiful in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Faith relieves you. Faith says, "I have it now." Faith says, you can look at that circumstance and say, "You know what? I don't care what you look like, and I don't care what you feel like. I have it, and you are not in any way, shape, or form able to take that away from me because I have it now." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when you're doing this, when you're exercising your spirit by confessing, by praying in the Spirit, by thanking God, believe that what you're saying is true. Believe, just simply believe God. You know, the Bible says faith is actually just trusting God, okay? Faith is just believing God's word. God's true. He's not going to lie to you. Imagine that. "Okay, God, I'm going to believe you're not a liar." No, okay? So believe what you're saying is true. Believe that what you're saying belongs to you. It belongs to me. I have it now. It belongs to me. And believe while you're saying it that it's working. The Word of God is a process. God's Word is medicine. It is a process. And as you're putting it into you and as you're exercising, it's working a process. Remember, you're healed first in the spirit on the inside, and then it comes to the outside, but it starts on the inside first. It's doing something. The Word of God is doing something. Don't quit and don't say, "Oh, when am I going to get it?" No, don't even let that thought. Remember, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Don't even allow that thought to come into your mind for 2 seconds. Don't let it. Hallelujah. And if you'll do those things, whatever the situation is, God will see you through every time, guaranteed. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Well, let's go ahead and hallelujah. Let's go ahead and confess this. I thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father.
I thank you for your word.
I thank you for your word.
Your word never changes.
Your word never changes.
As I put your word in my mouth.
As I put your word in my mouth.
As I chew it with my mind.
As I chew it with my mind.
And as I swallow it.
As I swallow it.
I'm getting stronger and stronger.
I'm getting
My healing is getting bigger and bigger.
My healing is getting bigger and bigger.
I thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father.
That your word is always true.
That your word is always true.
And you never fail.
And you never fail.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for your word this morning.